When it finally came time to set sail from England for the New World, just how high were the stakes for the 102 passengers aboard the Mayflower? Carolyn Travers, librarian for the Mayflower Society, says it was nothing short of everything.
They'd sold everything. I mean, their homes, their what possessions they didn't need. I'm not sure what choice they had.
The cost of supplies, their rental of two ships, yes, two ships, and their patent for land at the northern end of Virginia, yes, Virginia, had left them deeply in debt. And as Dr. Walter Powell, executive director of the Mayflower Society, explains, their investors intended to be paid back.
They're doing it for economic reasons. They could care less, for the most part, about the pilgrims' religious views. That to them, it's just a business opportunity, a speculative opportunity.
Now, about those religious views.
When you talk about the pilgrims, and they're all one religion, they all have this really monolithic culture, this one way of looking at the world. No, it was a bunch of diverse people.
Relatively speaking, they were all English, but as many as half were not a part of the religious separatist group. There were adventurers with much-needed practical skills.
Well, John Alden, who was signed on board because he was a carpenter.
Protector advisors who could keep the fledgling group safe.
Miles Standish, who had a military record in the lowlands, who was Catholic by background.
And then there were the Moore children, four youngsters who were shipped off when their father found out that they were actually fathered by another man.
They're like 2 to 6 years old. I mean, little kids. And their world has suddenly fallen apart. Their father isn't their father. Their grandparents aren't their grandparents. Their mother doesn't want them. Nobody who's connected with them wants them.
On August 5th, 1620, the Mayflower and a second ship, the Speedwell, set sail from England for the New World. They did not get far. Twice, the Speedwell sprung leaks, forcing the ships back to harbor in England, delaying the Pilgrims' ultimate departure by more than a month.
They never thought they'd have to do it in one ship. And so there's some painful decisions made. Roughly 30 or so passengers make the decision to transfer to Mayflower, and thus it's overcrowded, and they make the journey.
The delay would change the course of American history right from its start. When they first reached land on Cape Cod, the Pilgrims knew that they were well north of their target. But it was now early winter, and then, as now, winter here was tough.
They never got down there because of the issue of the lateness of the season, the weather attempting to navigate the Cape and running into shoals. They decided to go down and instead explore the coast here on South Shore.
They settled instead in present-day Plymouth, outside of their charter, in a clearing that was once a thriving native village, recently decimated by disease, likely introduced by early European explorers.
When the Pilgrims decide to settle in what had been the native village of Patuxet, the Pilgrims look on this bare landscape, if you will, and they see that as God's providence. Of course, the Wampanoag would view that very differently.
The Pilgrims' first winter was brutal. Roughly half of the Mayflower's 102 passengers died, including three of the four Moore children. But Plymouth Colony would, of course, take hold. And for better or worse, New England was now in motion.
Had the Speedwell and the Mayflower left promptly in early August, perhaps they might have indeed traveled to their intended destination. Of course, it's one of the great what-ifs, because there's so many in American history that continue to fascinate us.
Plymouth Colony, established right here in Massachusetts, at least in part thanks to the faulty Speedwell, which left England with the Mayflower 395 years ago this week. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, WGBH, Boston's local NPR.
Oh, come on the ship they call the Mayflower. Come on the ship that sailed the moon. We come in the ages most uncertain hours and sing an American tune. Whoa, whoa, and it's all right. Oh, it's all right, it's all right. You can be forever. Tomorrow's gonna be another working day, and I'm trying to get some rest. That's all I.